Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 114 of the Alexis L podcast. Last two episodes, we've had two great comedians, Robin Ince and then Stuart Lee. Now we're back to just me and Talal, which I'm sure your hardcore listeners of the podcast, the small fanatical core, fanatical cater of the Alexis L podcast would prefer, really.
Did you say fanatical cater?
Fanatical, two words, fanatical and then cater. Cater means a kind of tight, highly motivated group of people. It's my understanding what cater means.
Okay.
C-A-D-R-E.
Wasn't an Al-Qaeda pun.
No. Oh,
okay.
No. Just the purists. This is for the purists.
Mm-hmm.
Just an hour of me humming. fuck those people who want interesting conversation with other people. It's just you and me. Was it Gabriel Oak in Far From the Madding Crowd says, to best you, when I look up, there will you be. And when you look up, there will I be. Just me and you staring at each other forever, talking. Anywho,
but if they're both looking up.
No, you look up from their knitting or their, you know.
Okay. So they were.
They're sitting by the fire.
They were originally looking down and they just looked up to the middle, to the middle region.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And there they are across from each other.
It's very poetic. Interestingly enough, near here, there is Thomas Hardy was actually, was an architect before he became a full-time author and was part of the building of the railway line outside, coming out of St. Pancras and or the enlarging. And there was a church, St. Pancras Church, which is a very ancient church. It sort of chopped off some of the graveyard, and Hardy was left with the job of finding out what to do with all the tombstones. And what he did was very interesting. He piled them in concentric circles around an oak tree in what remained of the graveyard. And it came to be known as Hardy's Oak. And it's the most spooky thing. And I think the tree fell over a few years ago, possibly because it had hundreds of tombstones wrapped around it. So I haven't been to see what happened to it recently, but it's a, if you're looking for something to do in the St. Pancras area, occasionally you find staff from the Eurostar in the church. So you've got nothing else better to do.
It's called the Hardy Tree.
The Hardy Tree, yeah.
Yeah, and it fell in 2022.
Yeah.
It became a powerful symbol of life among death. Oh, wow, yeah.
It's very striking. To what extent it hints at his later fiction, really, but it's quite a thing to do as a young architect.
It looks like razors surrounding this tree.
Yeah.
Like the tree's sprouting out of like a Brillo pad or something. But yeah, it's fallen now.
Yeah, so there you go. I was actually just before we started.
The tree wasn't so hardy after all.
See, this is what people.
It took me too long.
This is what people tune in for. Fuck Stuart Lee, fuck Robin Ince. This is what they're after.
My friend is a writer and he's very good. I love him. He wrote on Veep and stuff and he did Rosie Jones's new sitcom. I think it's called Pushers, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He made that and he sent me a voice note after last week's episode about the Compo Bursts puppy story. So amongst his circle of writers, it's known that it was Andy Reilly who
wrote on my last TV series ever. Merry-go-round.
Oh, so it's all connected.
Have you seen the footage of Graham Linehan testifying before US Congress?
No.
Yeah. That's a weird ex-writers of the Alexis L show. What are they doing now? Graham Linehan is testifying before the US Congress about free speech and him not being allowed to defend women in his mind.
In his mind, in his way.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. But what brings him out there?
Well, I don't know. He seems to be getting, I don't know. Well, it's obviously, I mean, obviously what he's saying fits in with the MAGA Trump people, their contention that free speech is curtailed in Europe, you know, which what they mean by free speech is their kind of free speech. Reactionary positions are, which maybe they are. I don't know. I tended to agree with Noam Chomsky that I was a kind of free speech libertarian. But Noam Chomsky's not looking too good these days, is he really? With the footage of him on Epstein's jet. What's that all about? He's really let the side down. I can't pretend he didn't, you know. I only know his writing and his, you know, which always seemed phenomenally good, really incredible clarity. But although he's not, he's been nominated for the Nobel Prize for linguistics, but never actually won it. So
he's always seemed on the side of the people, you know, and
very articulate. What he said always seemed to make sense, but he's not looking good, which brings us neatly to the whole that I thought I'd, you know, for once deal with the topical press story, which is the Mandelstam Epstein day, whatever it is. This is Thursday. And I would just like to say about Mandelson, I mean, that he's obviously a profoundly dishonest character, but he is just a part of that cabal of right-wing Labour MPs grouped around Labour together. And that was the dishonesty. I saw Steve Reed, another one of those fuckers, on the TV this morning, pretending to be outraged about Mandelson. But dishonesty was how they seized control of the Labour Party. Dishonest stories like, you know, you remember Angela Rayner's brick or homophobia in Brighton Labour Party. Obviously their main weapon, false allegations of anti-Semitism. And so they're all, you know, Morgan McSweeney, Shabana Mahmood, they are all tainted with the, you know, Mandelson was there. You know, was their leading ideologue until recently. And so this for them to pretend that his dishonesty is, and Starmer himself, if you think about the Starmer, when he wanted to be elected leader of the Labour Party, he made these 10 pledges, all of which he immediately dropped when he didn't need the left-wing members of the Labour Party anymore. And also, of course, Starmer's campaign was financed by dark money from betting industry and, of course, the Israel lobby, something he didn't reveal until after he was elected, delayed. And so for them to pretend that this dishonesty of Mandelson, the corruption of Mandelson, is unique, it's not. It's central to their entire being, I think. That is what the right wing of the Labour Party is, dishonest.
But what is it that actually connects them to Mandelson's wrongdoings or his?
Well, there was a group called Labour Together, which was the core of the, you know, the group who were determined to defeat Jeremy Corbyn. And the thing they feared most, of course, was Jeremy Corbyn actually was a win for the Labour Party. And, you know, you have Mandelson in 2017 at an event organized by the Arch-Zionist Jewish Chronicle saying, you know, I plot every day to fight Jeremy Corbyn. Yes. And this is the leader of the party he's a member of. And so he was the, and Morgan McSweeney, Starmer's chief of staff, was his, as Kemi Badenoch said yesterday, was Mandelson's protege. He inspired and motivated him, and they talked every day. And from Morgan McSweeney, the orders went out to Steve Reed and Shabana Mahmood. And I mean, I think Paul, you know, when we had Paul Holden on the show, he talked a lot about this. That is the core of his book, The Fraud, about Starmer's phenomenally dishonest rise to power. So that's what connects them, really, that Mandelson was one of the part of this group and was one of their, you know, he provided the kind of ideological and practical template for them with their false allegations of anti-Semitism and their stories about non-existent bricks through windows and stuff like that. And so they're all in it together, really, in facilitating the rise of Starmer and also the defenestration, the ejecting of so many left-wing Labour MPs from the party. Mm. Mandelson himself. Yeah, I mean, I've never met him, really. A strange creature, I think. But, it, you know, I say they're trying to kind of absolve themselves of responsibility, but Mandelson represents who they are ideologically. And of course, the other thread from the last couple of days has been a vague, half-assed attempt to say that Jeffrey Epstein was in league with Russian intelligence. Well, that's bullshit, obviously. But there is another country that Epstein was much more, almost certainly, an agent of the security services of. Lots of evidence. Of course, is Israel. Yeah. You know, Epstein was a fanatical supporter of Israel. Peter Mandelson was not a member of Labour Friends of Russia, but he was a member of Labour Friends of Israel. Mm. Ghislaine Maxwell's father, Robert Maxwell, as I said in the last series, the sandwich bar was almost certainly a Mossad agent, and who also mysteriously died, as did Epstein. So that when one of their agents becomes an embarrassment, they are also adept at terminating them. And so it's much more likely that everybody's terrified to say it, but I think it's much more likely that Epstein was collecting compromat for not for Russian security services, but for the Israeli security services. It does go some way to explaining how our political class is so insanely pro-Israel, is, you know, that the Mossad is holding evidence of them doing God knows what to God knows who, and that's why they are so blind in their adherence to Israel. But this kind of feeble attempt, like people like idiots like Andrew Marr, to say that, you know, that there's a connection with Russian intelligence, there's far more evidence. I mean, if the listeners would like to email in or whatever, you know, with their evidence of what proof there is, but I'm sure there is. Certainly, there's a lot more proof that he was involved in Israeli security services than he was involved with Russian security services.
And we've barely seen, apparently there's lots more that's...
Lots
when they
more.
Say, 3 million files have been released, you think, oh, that's surely everything. It's probably barely any of it.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking his side, but I'm struggling. if Mandelson is in trouble for his relationship with Epstein, I'm still struggling to understand why that is Keir Starmer's responsibility.
Well, it's Keir Starmer's responsibility because Keir Starmer appointed him as British ambassador to the United States. Even though he was specifically warned not to.
Aha.
So that's, I mean, apart from that, he was Mandelson was an amanuensis, was an inspiration to him behind the scenes, but he would have got away with it if he hadn't been the absolute fucking dickhead that he is. At the behest of Morgan McSweeney, we are told, he appointed this friend of a paedophile sex trafficker to be
knowingly.
Yeah, he said in Parliament yesterday he knew that that Mandelson had continued his relationship with Epstein after he'd been convicted in
There it is.
Was it 2013? So that's, I mean, that's why Starmer is in so much trouble. I think Mandelson was also, Trevor Phillips, who's a right-wing shill, I think, on Sky News on Sunday mornings. I think Peter Mandelson was his best man at his wedding as well. Some are causing to question his objectivity, his neutrality, I would have thought. I mean, very much a kind of very aggressive during the, again, during the false anti-Semitism years of Jeremy Corbyn's leadership of the Labour Party. But this is the quality of individual who ousted Jeremy Corbyn from the Labour Party. Leadership of the Labour Party is somebody like Peter Mandelson, the best friend of a paedophile sex trafficker.
Also
shows who they are, you know, what their moral compass is. And Jeremy made a good speech yesterday in the House.
Yes,
House of Commons. But, you know, it goes much deeper than, you know, the rot of Mandelson goes much deeper than just Mandelson or Epstein, in fact.
It's also fucking creepy as well, isn't it?
Of course, photos. It's also, because one of Epstein's closest associates was Ehud Barak.
Ex-Israeli Prime Minister.
And also, apparently, I've seen testimony from, you know, women when they were young girls that he was very violent. Violent kind of rapist, not just particularly vile character. So again, this is one of Epstein's closest associates. Again, it doesn't hint at Russian involvement, but it does hint at involvement of the Israelis. And, you know, it's Israel. You know, it's another kind of example of how Israel corrupts our politics and our.
Those people out there who claim to be fighting for the protection of women and girls with their misplaced anger and violence. This is the place for them to direct their ire. You know?
Yeah.
If that's really what you care about. But they'll always have Trump's back. They'll always have Farage's back.
Yeah.
Even the style of the photos is so creepy. There's something about that old fashioned camera scanned into a computer, they're like that picture of Mandelson. Fucking when I close my eyes,
underpants.
You should be able to stand in your pants with your friend and look at your emails. That's nothing, you know, on paper. There's nothing wrong with that. But just the way that photo seems to be taken from inside a cupboard. Across the room, and even Noam Chomsky, they don't actually and Epstein's emails back and forth. They never talk about anything insidious, but it's there's a creepy anything.
It's kind of it's flattering each gross. Other and stuff. Yeah,
and you can't be friends with Epstein and not know what he's involved in.
No.
So I think just having any sort of regular correspondence with the guy. Just
I was pleased to see that somebody who was a disciple, as it were, of Chomsky's Norman Finkelstein, somebody who I respect greatly, that I think some associate of Epstein's reached out to him and he rejected them completely, that Norman Finkelstein would have nothing to do with Epstein. But it was a good day yesterday. I think Starmer is in terrible trouble. I hope that this debacle means that the Greens win the Gorton and Denton by-election. By, you know, all those who are going to vote Labour will now vote Green. You know, and solidify the left vote around the Greens. I think that is. But also, we had a momentous event with the trial of Filton 6 yesterday. That they were basically, and you can see a jury, although I think at one point the judge had directed the jury to find them guilty. The jury refused and found them not guilty. And that shows you why people like David Lammy, another recipient of money from the Israel lobby, wants to do away with jury trials, because juries don't do what the, if that judge had been sitting in the trial solely, he would have found those people guilty, and the jury refused to find them guilty, I presume because they perceived their actions as being motivated by morality. So, I mean, I think they, five of them being freed and one of them is still being held on bail. And, of course, they are political prisoners, those are being held on bail two or three times longer than they're allowed to be held on remand. It's just, scandal. I don't know what the difference is between us.
It's an immoral outrage, the fact that you can hold someone.
But anyway, we have been supporters of the Filton, of those who attacked. Am I going to get arrested for saying this? We are pleased with the outcome of the trial. I think it's a great day for direct action and a great day for British.
Yes.
The system
very,
works.
Very emotional watching the videos of them getting released. Yeah. But it's just so sad that so much time and energy has to be wasted on this nonsense.
Yeah.
Their families and how much suffering their families have been through. For what? Just for them to be freed and be told, obviously, they're innocent.
It's, the urgency of the UK political establishments, in this case, the Labour government, to defend the rights of Israeli arms manufacturers. They're much more concerned about defending Israeli arms manufacturers than they are about defending British people who've got a moral conscience, just as our entire bloody political establishment was, including particularly Steve Reed and Shabana Mahmood, was outraged and, a chief constable essentially lost his job over the fact that some racist football hooligans from a foreign country weren't allowed to come to see a football match, which again sees it's so I don't know what Jeffrey Epstein's passed on to Mossad about what Shabana Mahmood's been up to, but
when white British citizens are bombed, who are working for the World Kitchen charity, and they're bombed to smithereens,
killed them,
in Palestine by Israeli airships, which are partly constructed here in the UK.
Yeah.
Not a word of condemnation.
Not a fucking dicky bird, no.
Against the Israeli army, government. Not a single word against that. Oh, maybe we shouldn't be building these bombs that have actually ended up killing a Brit, British man.
Yeah.
The most precious of all minerals. fucking bombed in Gaza, and not a single fucking dicky bird, as he's saying. So of course they're going to put someone in prison for over a year. Of course.
But some racist football thugs aren't allowed.
Of course, they're going to welcome them. Yeah, or want to welcome them, or make the policeman retire because he didn't welcome them.
Yeah, that's the biggest.
They're killing Brits
outrage. Yeah,
willingly. So what the fuck else? What is your? Why is your expectation so high?
Yeah,
if that's what they'll allow.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll see. I hope these people's.
We'll see what.
The days are numbered.
Is it? So people are saying they want Keir to step down. And now that is bringing about speculation of a possible snap election. What do you think of the legitimacy of that? Because we saw conservatives go through prime minister after prime minister after prime minister without a single election. So what is the chances of that happening to Labour? Bringing in a new
face? Don't really know. The whole party is tainted by Mandelson and tainted by the Labour together, and they have a very firm grip on the machinery of the Labour. I mean, I was completely ignorant of this shit, before Jeremy. Now I know all kinds of nonsense about the Labour Party and its fucking structures, which I'm sorry that I pushes out other stuff, I used to know things about mountains or flowers or rabbits, and now all that shit has been pushed out and replaced with knowledge of the fucking Labour Party NEC.
You got the name of a tank wrong the other day. Unbelievable.
So I think
was it a plane?
Labour, the right wing Labour Party, Labour Together factions have a very tight grip on the machinery of the Labour Party, the bureaucratical machinery, is very much controlled still by that faction, that right-wing faction, which is, you know, their only policy ever was that they hated the left. You know, they had no other. That's why they're so, partly why they're so useless in government, because they have no other. They haven't thought about anything apart from excluding the left and, you know, benefiting bankers and the arms industry. So if Starmer goes, means West Streeting is tainted by Mandelson as any of the others, really. So if he replaces him, it's just the same with a slightly, you know.
But there's no lefties left in the Labour Party. They've been not, all but there's a few, out,
but not that would be getting to positions. But I mean, I suppose the other, I mean, obviously somebody who is manoeuvring to take over the Labour Party is Angela Rayner, who is, again, I think profoundly untrustworthy and profoundly dishonest. But, you know, she might be able to present a more emollient. But I think, I mean, I hope that the Labour Party is finished, really, and that those who believe in the left or even the centre left migrate to the Greens, really. I assume that the...
But that's the scary thing, is if something drastic happens now, the left parties aren't ready. They thought they had all this time to prepare for an election. I don't know if they have all the people in place and the candidates in place to... They need to get ready now. If there was an election tomorrow, they need to have someone standing
in every constituency,
you know?
I think that'd be very difficult, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't think there will be. I don't know. My guess is that there won't be an election. I mean, Labour would certainly lose it, really. So my guess is that there won't be, but, you know, I have no particular inside information on any of this, really. So that's what's grinding my gears this week. That's my 2 cents. Labour Party is run by a cabal of dishonest, corrupt, mendacious individuals who are in league with the arms industry and genocidal apartheid, ethnic cleansing, ethno-fascist Jewish supremacist state of Israel. That's the shocking message of this week. I'm doing a couple of dates for your diary, just showing how I am now a leading theoretician, despite this unconnected babble that I'm doing at the moment. I'm now a leading figure on the left. On May the 6th at the Barbican, I am interviewing... I think you could call Marxist theoretician and a popular philosopher, Slavoj Žižek.
No way.
Fuck yes way.
Oh my God.
Me and Slavoj. Yeah.
Bring a poncho.
Yeah. Can't help. That's so crazy. He's launching a new book, and I am the one who's headlining his the London launch at the Barbican of that book, which I can't remember the name of at the moment. But yes, I was very excited about that, to be offered that. I'm doing some comic strip events up and down the country where, you know, they show comic strip movie that I've been in, and then me and Peter Richardson talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Often with Robin Ince.
Where's that?
Different towns. I can't remember. One begins with a B and it's in Dorset in April.
Trying to look up the dates for you
here. Yeah.
But the thing is, I've just stroked my cat and he's elderly and I've looks like I've got some poo on my finger. So I need to go wash my hand real quick.
Yeah.
Give me 20 seconds.
Yeah. There is freedom within, there is freedom without. Catch the daddy who was in the paper cup. Hey now, don't think it's over. Hey now.
You know, it's like I'm...
Hey now.
I'm going through what you and Linda, I'm starting, it's beginning. What you and Linda went through for the last few years with Will.
It's awful.
And it's just, you can't trust any surface in your house anymore.
No.
And the suspicious stains on the walls and carpets and everything. It's a poor guy, you know.
Yeah. Where were we?
So the comic strip presents is the name of the event, isn't it? And 2024.
I'm doing four of those through the summer. I'm also doing in Morecambe, a Young Ones in my other life. And me and Lisa and Paul Jackson are doing a Young Ones event in Morecambe in Lancashire, I think in July. This Saturday, I'm doing that, talking to Robin Ince at the Slapstick Festival about, my stuff, but that, I know that's sold out. So, I'll see you there if you've got tickets for that. There's a few live events in the spring and summer. I'm going to be around there more. Like, we'll be putting, obviously, in the autumn when my book comes out.
But the Comic Strip Presents hasn't released tickets yet, I don't think, for the upcoming stuff. But
I think, because somebody told me last night it was...
please check back the dates. Well. Go to thecomicstrip.tv. That's the official website of the Comic Strip Presents tour.
Some theatre in the town.
Well, if you know it, that means the release of tickets will be imminent. So keep an eye out for that. Thecomicstrip.tv. Exciting. And your fucking book. Oh, sorry. I need to try and swear less.
I know people were complaining about your swearing.
Told off about my swearing. Yeah. Oh, I'm a potty mouthed little shit bag, you know? This world we live in makes me swear a lot. I'm so sorry. But I will try to do better, even though I am who I am, and this is our show, and here I am. So take it or leave it. But I was also
just before I was singing, Hey now, don't think it's over. You've got a better singing voice than me. But the war between us. And that song is It's Crowded House.
Mm-hmm.
That song had been in my head because I watched a film on, I think, Netflix the other day called Anniversary. And it got a kind of snotty review in The Guardian, I think, yesterday. But I think it's better than the review from the snotty reviewer. It's a film about, it was buried. It was made in 2025, stars Diane Lane. And it's about an authoritarian takeover of the United States.
What's the film called again?
Anniversary. I liked it. I thought it was deeply unsettling.
Tensions rise and loyalties are tested when a couple meet their son's new girlfriend.
Yeah. I think it's much better. I thought it was really good. I recommend another film that I watched that was on Film 4 was a film I'm completely unaware of, written by Jesse Armstrong and directed, I think, by Chris Morris in 2019, called I Think the Day Will Come or Our Day Will Come, which again has I'm not aware of it, but it was buried. Because it's saying some profound things about...
Oh, the day shall come.
The day shall come. But saying something... I mean, it's kind of weirdly structured, but...
Is that the one where the FBI frame this lower-class guy? Very,
yeah.
Force him to do some terrorist thing.
But it's got, Anna Kendrick, of course, who I love from Pitch Perfect movies and Up in the Air. It's really interesting. I was completely unaware of it, really, and I assume because of its message, it was buried on release, really. But, you know, Jesse Armstrong, of course, writer of Succession. And Chris Morris. Maybe we should get Chris Morris. You know, I talked about that. Was I talking to you about Meta Moment where I was cycling up Oxford Street and saw Adam Curtis talking to Chris Morris?
Yeah.
Look, I forswore from going and saying hello to them because it would have just looked too meta, really.
Yeah, you needed me there to record it. We'd love to have Chris Morris on, of course.
Maybe we should.
Such a rich history,
career.
You enjoyed The Day Shall Come then?
I did, and it's very upsetting and unsettling, actually, I think.
I remember when that came out, there was a big push in the press about it. Like, they really tried to promote it hard. You know, he was on all the podcasts and all the YouTube channels, but it didn't do well, and the ratings weren't great.
No, I was completely unaware of it. I'd never. But again, I suppose it is given. I mean, the snotty reviewer in The Guardian did. She said how she'd not liked Alex Garland's Civil War when it came out, but now, you know, it seems more like a documentary than fiction, really.
You made me think of that film a moment ago. That film is chilling.
I found it, again, I found it at the time, I think, very really powerful, you know, not without its flaws, but, you know, really powerful. And obviously it is a, you know, it's getting to appear more and more like reality, really.
Yeah. Especially with the ICE agents.
Yeah. So anyway, I would recommend Anniversary.
It's weird. There must be some. It makes you think there's a conspiracy that shuts these films down, but that also.
No, I think it definitely was about Anniversary, because it's an implied critique of Trump.
There's a lot of talk at the moment about giving conspiracy theorists their flowers, like apologizing to them because we've spent so long laughing and ridiculing conspiracy theorists. And every day that moves forward, it feels like maybe they had a point. And now I'm beginning to question the moon landing and stuff.
Well, it is. It's true, isn't it? I mean, the paedophile ring in the pizza shop, that wasn't true, but. You know, Jeffrey Epstein is, you know, pretty close to that, and the Clintons were involved.
I've been saying that it's just they got the dates and locations wrong.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah. Sorry, conspiracy theorists. You were right all along. You know, we who poo pooed you, we should, we should eat our M16s.
They are, the Nostradamus is Nostradami. Of our time. But on the other hand, a lot of them are absolute dickheads.
Yeah.
I was on the tube the other day. I was sat on the tube, minding my own business, wearing my kufiya. And this fellow comes on, sits opposite me. I think it was on the Victoria line. And he was wearing a t-shirt. And it had a picture of a flat earth on it. And it had the text, "Once you go flat, you never go back."
Right.
Written on his t-shirt.
Okay.
And he's one of those guys who didn't take his backpack off when he sits down. So you could tell he's a moron. Like, you know, wouldn't he just sit with your backpack on the chair, hunched forward? And he had a yellow ribbon badge on.
Oh, really?
On top of his flat earth t-shirt. Yeah. So there are some conspiracy theorists out there who are still.
Yeah, that's just weird intersection. Yeah,
let's not fully buy into it yet.
Oh, another date for your diary is I'm reviewing the papers on Broadcast House on Radio 4
in
the morning of April the 15th.
Oh, they book you in that far in advance.
Yeah.
April 15th. I'm not
sure if they let me on.
And you've got your book coming out when
this year. We're aiming for it's still, I mean, it is because it, you know, it's partly about politics, and so you know, you keep having to rewrite the fucking thing because things change every day, really. So it's a bit problem, but we're hoping to get it out. I think still we're aiming for September, and I will.
Are you going to be touring like crazy when that comes out?
I assume so. That'll be weird. It's years since I've left the house, really. So it'll be a weird experience. I have to get up early and do things. The age of 73.
You got this.
74, actually. I'll be 74 when the book comes out. But
you don't do the voice anymore.
What? Oh, damn. I know. I think Linda told me off. She found it unsettling. I'm talking like that.
Oh, breaking news.
I'm 74.
Yeah. Keir Starmer's apologized. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for having believed Mandelson's lies and appointing him. And he apologizes to the victims of Epstein. Oh, well, then that's everything's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Alexei.
Yes.
Have you heard of something called Patreon?
I have a vague notion, but do explain it to me, Talal.
Oh, well, patreon.com is a website where you can go and support, you know, little shows that you enjoy and things
podcasts,
that bring
for
you.
Example.
For example, yeah. Really good example, that one, actually. And say, like, you get something for free every week and, like, you enjoy listening to it and it brings you some comfort and it makes you maybe smile or giggle when you listen to it, or it makes you go, fascinating.
Yeah.
And it gives you a bit of light in kind of darker times, you know. There's a way that you can show appreciation to those things because, you know, we're happy to do it for free. We love, we love creating this show, meeting up weekly and having a chat.
Shouldn't cost us money, though.
It costs, I have a lot of bills to pay for the show. You know, there's subscription fees for all the different hosting and recording, production. Nothing is really free. It all costs money. And then I have bills myself to pay in rent, and this takes time, and I sit and edit. And then if, like, you know, someone isn't wearing headphones and so their audio comes out really bad, then it takes me twice as long to edit the show and try my best to make the sound quality better. We don't have a team behind us. We don't have any advertisers giving us money. So if you want to show appreciation to something like that, for example, you know, you could go to the website patreon.com/ Alexei Sell Podcast, let's say. And you can sign up for like £3 a month, 5, 10, 20, whatever you can afford. Even sign up for a few months and then quit, you know, just to, like, you know, we come to you cap in hand, throw a few coins in the cap. And it helps keep the show going, shows us your support. And you get a little something.
Makes us feel good about ourselves.
Yeah. And it's very pleasing. Basically, you help keep the show running, and the show can't really go as long as it has, can't go as often as it does without your support, because it takes a lot of time and effort to create. And if you do become a member of patreon.com/AlexeiSell Podcast, no matter what tier, no matter which price,
silver, gold,
bracket,
platinum, bronze,
you get some benefits. You get to watch the video.
We did promise you'd get nothing at all, didn't we? But we've actually resiled from that.
We don't give you much, but it's a lot more than the nothing that we did promise. But you get full video episodes. So you get to watch our faces as we speak and put a face to the voice. When we have guests on, you can see what their kitchens or living rooms look like. And there's every now and then tidbits that we put up there. I want to work on some more. Me and Alexei were chatting earlier today about what more we can do for the Patreon.
Which would be more of this, but only you'd get to see it, really.
We might do little after-show conversations. Yeah. You know, there are some stingy people out there. Say they have an hour-long show.
Yeah.
They'll just make the show 45 minutes, and then to get the last 15 minutes, you have to join their Patreon.
No.
That's kind of mean. We would do the full hour and then do an extra 15, if anything. Or, you know, when the weather's better, we'll do some more outdoor filming, me and Alexei. But, you know, who knows? I'm rambling now. Please support the show. That's the main thing. This is a grassroots endeavor. It's just me and Lex and a couple of laptops.
Yeah.
And we all have bills to pay. So please go to patreon.com/AlexeiSell Podcast. I really appreciate that. Oh, and there's the group chat there, which is popping off, and I love everyone on there.
Yes, I feel tremendous affection for everybody. So maybe we got 15 minutes. We try and make it an hour, don't we? Do we do some of the listeners' queries?
Well, speaking of our lovely patrons, I did have a message from someone called Paddy. Alexi, and he has a question for you.
Yes.
Hi, my name's Patrick. I thought it was Paddy. My dad, Warwick, told me when I was a teenager, he bought a tandem bike off of you. Is this true?
Yes, probably. Was it a Claude Butler?
That's all I know. Well, I don't know how many tandem bikes you've owned in your...
I've owned two.
Have you?
Yeah. One was a Claude Butler and one was a racing tandem. And then the other one was a Paschley. And it was the happiest day of my life when I got rid of our tandem. It made me feel ridiculous and absurd. And it was, I just thought, why don't I fucking learn to drive? But yeah, for instance, our friend Chris lived outside Banbury and we used to stay we put a caravan in her garden and we used to stay, and Linda was still working at the time. I used to drop, cycle into Banbury with Linda on the back of the tandem and then drop her off at the station to catch the train into London, and I'd cycle back by myself. And I, every second of every minute I was on that tandem, I felt terrible.
That's the first time I've considered that there's an actual practical use to a tandem. It's so that you didn't have two bikes and then you're stuck with two bikes. And what do we do with this extra bike? You can drop
Lynn's not very good at riding a bike, her pants, so it was also... But it was, it was just awful. But yeah, I had that. If his dad was the one who bought the Claude Butler off me, I kept it. We had a council. We lived in this council block in Fulham, and I somehow managed to keep 9 bikes in a council flat. I don't know, including that tandem, Jesus, which I kept upright in a cupboard. but yeah, so I did. I did. And it was just awful. I mean, it was just the worst experience of my life riding that tandem.
Well, there you go, Patrick. He also goes on. I have a memory of being very young in a curry house next to a bus station in London with a friend of my dad's called Harry. He was a bus driver.
Yeah.
I think you may have been there as well.
Yeah, it was my best friend, Harry Jackson.
And he said, don't worry, I don't want anything.
No.
I just want to know if this is true because me bird thinks I'm making it all up.
Well, so, it's funny because we were in Fulham last week, and there was an Indian restaurant by the bus station by Olympia. So it may have been that Indian restaurant. Or we used to drink in this. I mean, when my book comes out in September, there's a sort of large section dedicated to Harry, my best friend, because it's bittersweet, really. I mean, he's dead now, but also, you have to read. I mean, and he lived near us in Fulham, and we used to drink in this flat roof. I mean, there was a pub called the Britannia, which was built into Hammersmith bus garage, so the crews could get drunk before they took the buses out. There's quite a lot about Harry, really, and it's some of it's kind of sad. So that was Harry Jackson, nay Jakubovic, and he was my dearest best friend for a long time.
Oh, that's true.
And he was a bus driver on the number 9s.
I think I've got another date for the diaries. Yeah, man. Well, we've been talking about this, and I've literally just got a message confirming our our terms. The Wellingborough May Day and Diggers Festival.
All right.
How do you feel about this? Should we commit to this, Lex? It's on May the 2nd.
On May Day?
May the 2nd is the event.
Yeah, because I've got the Slavoj Žižek is on the 6th. So yeah, I think the 2nd, that's fine, yeah.
TASP live at Diggers. I'm putting it in my diary. You guys at home, do the same. Diggers Festival. Mark Thomas normally headlines it, and this year they want you and I to do a live podcast there. Mm. It's the Wellingborough Afro-Caribbean Association May Day and Diggers Festival. And we'll
the Diggers,
be there.
Of course, very. The Diggers were, I think there was a group. I mean, it was at the time of the English Civil War, wasn't it? The Diggers were part of Cromwell's movement, but were
I have no idea.
Anarchists, very early adopters of kind of rural anarchism, and I think were those who were actually suppressed by Cromwell, and you know when the revolution turns on itself, as it generally does.
Oh, they believed in utopian socialism.
Yeah. I mean, if you think this is, what, 1649, yeah. And they, yeah, you know, this shit goes back. Yeah. And this very powerful force and, you know, such a threat to Cromwell in the end. I think they were violently suppressed.
I've got some reading to do before our show there, because the Diggers, this is news to me. And,
these are, you know, this is all part of our history that we're not taught, really, you know. That these ideas of socialism, of communism, you know.
Absolutely.
Had a great deal of traction in Britain, even in the 17th century. Oh, we're not taught that.
It's always been suppressed, even in the Middle East, which is a term I'm trying to remove from my vocabulary because it is a colonialist language to say Middle East, but and so is the word Arabs. And so it's like I don't know what fucking word to use. But we've got a rich history of socialism and resistance and it's never taught, you know, and it's never in the mainstream. It's always this underground, you know, secret rooms in the back room of a cafe. But it goes back hundreds of years. People across the whole world have always fought against the ruling class, have always gathered and planned and plotted and aspired, and they've always just been shut down, pushed back and erased from the history books. But you can't, because people still know about the Diggers. People still know about the Marxists and Trotskyites from Syria and Lebanon from the 70s and 60s. People still know about these movements. You can't kill the dream.
So I'm very excited. Yeah, I'm very excited to be doing the Diggers Festival on May the 2nd. They've agreed to our outrageous terms. White fair-lined rooms for both of us. And travel to and from Wellingborough in a...
Digger.
A leather-made helicopter. in a JCB.
In a big digger.
So they've capitulated into our outrageous demands, and we will be there. So it's exciting.
It is. That's cool. Yeah, that is exciting. And what else? Yeah, I think it's just been quite it's funny when we've had guests on for 2 weeks and just so much is going on in the news that we just just ignoring, because we've got this interesting person to talk to. We have had an interesting news week this week.
I mean I kind of, you know, both in the, you know, it may not like, but you know, in the acquittal of the Fulton Six, and also in the the continuing catastrophe that's befallen the Labour Party. I think we can look on these as, I do feel better, I think, you know, because most weeks are so grim for us on the left that, and, you know, Israel continues to murder children in Gaza, and, you know, that's all still going on, but at least we've had a couple of little victories.
And even Zara Sultanas is endorsing the Green Party
member quite interesting,
in the by-election.
I mean,
because she thinks that's the one, that's the best chance we have. She said it's all about being in a unified left. So, but that is highlighting the war within your party, though.
Absolutely. Well, that, as we say in Yiddish, that Mishigas. Yeah, there's a quite interesting article I thought on Novara by two women who are standing for the control, you know, the CEC, the Central Executive Committee of your party, on the grassroots left slate, where they make the point that, you know, obviously we all wish the Greens well, and Zach Polanski is a very compelling performer. But these two women make the point that
Candy Williams and Anahita Zardoshti. Yeah,
they make the very interesting point that the Green Party is focused. It is an electoral movement. It's interested in
being part of the system
and being part of the system and standing for the, you know, taking part in bourgeois democracy. And the distinction should be that if your party can turn out the way we want it, that it is much more, that it is, I know that's what Andrew Feinstein wants in Camden, is, a group that interacts with the community.
Yes.
And campaigns on that level in local campaigns for justice, you know, saving libraries and
food banks and whatever. Practical solutions.
Yeah, but also, as a dual track, and also stands for local elections. And that, I think, is ultimately perhaps a more interesting, or is another option, really, and should certainly it should be part of a left offer. And that's what hopefully your party branches, they talk about proto branches, like in Camden, the Camden People's Alliance, or Hackney Socialists,
it's true. Yeah, we need a movement that is changing things on the ground, doing practical, impactful things, but also educating the masses on why it's important and why socialism is important.
Yeah, and following that model of obviously the Black Panthers, Muslim Brotherhood,
Maybe there's room for both in our future. Yes.
The
article is called "The Green Party is Great, but It's Not Enough." I think I'll drop a link to that in the description of the podcast below.
Yeah.
That does look very interesting. Thanks for sharing that, Alexi.
Yeah, well, Kim, I think we're just coming up on an hour now. We've done our community service.
We don't have a strict time code. Please do leave a nice comment. If you're listening on a podcasting app, please give us a 5-star review.
Please.
It really helps the algo, you know, thumbs up, give the video a like. If you're watching on YouTube, do what you can. If you can't go and support us on the Patreon, do what you can for the algorithm, folks. Help us spread this show. We have no budget for marketing. We don't want to bring on advertisers. So help us spread the word. Tell your friends to give it a listen. Send them your favorite episode to get them started on it. And much love to all y'all.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You've been listening to the Alexi Sell Podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkouti. Music by Tarbush Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexiselpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.